Well, it's Friday. In other words, this is the day the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to this Friday, February 22nd, 2019. I am your host, Joey Kroll. There's a little bit more rejoicing on those Fridays, I'm thinking. But hey, so good to see you enjoying this cup of coffee. And I'm so glad that I'm enjoying it with you today. So good to spend some time with you. Here we are, the end of the week. Of course, looking forward to the weekend. Lots of different things coming up here in the next couple of days and weeks. The Bismarck First Church of Christ will be having their gospel sing Sunday night at 6:30 in Bismarck. And the one-man volleyball team, Bob Holmes, coming to town on Tuesday, March the 5th. Have you heard about Bob Holmes? He has a great ministry. He actually plays against teams all by himself in volleyball and wins. I mean, he's really good, and it's actually quite entertaining to watch. And his heart is really to be an evangelist, and he uses all of that to share the gospel with people. It's wonderful. So Maranatha Baptist Church and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes hosting, putting on this event in Rantoul at the Rantoul Township High School on Tuesday, March the 5th at 6:30, it's the one-man volleyball team with Bob Holmes. Free pizza, free soda as well. More details on that and other events right here going on in our own backyard at greatnewsradio.org and clicking on new events. So lots of other great stuff coming up as well. Well, I'll tell you what, I am pretty excited. My wife and I tonight, we're going to head up to Chicago. Spend the weekend there in Chicago. No kids. The kids were just shoving them on their grandparents. And praise the Lord. I shouldn't say shoving on, but you get what I'm saying. Just my wife and I were going to have a nice little getaway this week. And our church actually helped pay for some Blackhawks tickets for us to sit and watch the Blackhawks game tonight. They gave that to me, my family, for Pastor Appreciation Month back in October. So we're finally able to use those tickets. Tonight, we are like four or five rows back from the ice, dead center. I mean, it is wonderful. So we're looking forward to that, and we're using like a free night that we have with our rewards program to stay at a nice hotel in downtown Chicago, and it's going to be a good weekend. I am looking forward to that. It'll be even better when the Blackhawks win, so I'm hoping that's the case. They haven't played very well this year, so so pray for us as we go out and enjoy that this weekend. Well, coming up here in just a few moments today, we're going to talk about Christianity. I mean, it's amazing. You go around the world, there's lots of beliefs. There's lots of religions. There's lots of quote-unquote ways to heaven, unquote. But today, after today's program, my prayer is that you will have a greater confidence in knowing that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Coming up right after this.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. Whatever man may say, I see His hand of mercy, and I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He is always near. He lives, lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow.
Right, hallelujah, he lives right here on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. That's music from Selah here on Great News Radio. There's a place in California called the Self-Realization Lake. It's actually a spiritual sanctuary. That's what it's known for. And within this area here, there is a little court where you will find five markers for the five major religions in the world today: Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. And the markers are virtually identical, illustrating a leading thought in our world today that all religions are just different paths leading to the same place and the same person, God. And friend, not every religion is the same. Have you ever thought to yourself, what if Christianity wasn't true? Am I a Christian because my parents told me about Jesus? What if they were wrong? Am I a Christian because I was born in a Christian nation? What if I was born in another nation? And today we're going to be talking about Christianity, one among many. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul, he's walking through Athens, and he's noticing all these idols, all these false gods that these people are worshiping, and these statues and these idols that they have up. And in verse 22, he goes to the council, the Areopagus, and he addresses them. Acts 17, verse 22. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceived in every way that you are very religious, for as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found an altar also with this inscription: to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of men. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Friend, how do we know that Christianity is true? The Apostle Paul, he found himself walking and he's seeing all these false idols, all these gods, and all these places of where people worshiped. Don't we see that today? All these religions, all these denominations, all these places where people worship. How do we know that Christianity is true? Let me tell you something. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. You know, Paul said in verse 30, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. Watch this. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Jesus Christ died and he came back to life. You can't say that about Buddha. You can't say that about Muhammad. You can't say that about Joseph Smith. Jesus Christ died and came back to life. But I know what you're saying, Brother Joey. I don't believe that. Of course, your book, of course, the Bible will tell you that it's God who has came back from the dead, so you can believe in it. Of course, it's going to tell you that. Let me tell you something. The Bible is a historical document. That's what it is. It's the Word of God, yes, but it's also a historical document. Secular archaeologists use the Bible as a guide map on where to dig and find artifacts. Did you know that? They use it as a guide map. I'll tell you what, if someone rejects the Bible's authority, that person must still contend with the fact that multiple, reliable, historical documents make these amazing claims. How do I know that Christianity is different than every other religion? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, plus also the eyewitness accounts. The eyewitness accounts. Mary Magdalene saw him on the Sunday morning following the crucifixion. Several other women saw him a short time later. On the same Sunday, he appeared to Peter. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus saw him late Sunday afternoon. In the same evening of the same day, he came to the 11 remaining disciples as they met in the upper room. We also see in Scripture that he came again to the 11 8 days later. And after his disciples returned to Galilee, seven of them met him on the shore of the sea. He appeared in Galilee to a gathering of more than 500 people. Sometime just a few weeks later after that, he revealed himself to his brother James. And 6 weeks after the resurrection, at the time of his ascension to heaven, he was seen by 120 people, including the 11 disciples. And the Bible documents time and time and time again the eyewitness accounts of people seeing Jesus Christ after his death, the resurrected Christ, time and time and time again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. And the Apostle Paul is writing here in 1 Corinthians 15. He lists some of the names of those who saw Jesus, the resurrected Christ. And he says, many of them are still living. Go ask them yourself. Get their testimony. You know, the Bible is just like a police report. And we're reading the actual account from the eyewitness. And many of those eyewitnesses, they were martyrs. Most of the disciples were martyrs. Now, I'll tell you what, most of the disciples who witnessed the arrest, the death, the burial, and saw the resurrected Jesus died for their faith. You know that? Now, let me ask you a question. Ask yourself this. Were the disciples liars? Were they deceivers? If so, why? Why would they deceive? Why would they lie? Well, you may say, well, Brother Joey, people lie for gain. What gain did they have if Jesus is still in that grave? How did they die? According to church history, Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified. Matthew was put to death by the sword. James was crucified. Philip was crucified. Simon was crucified. James, the brother in Jesus, was stoned to death. Thomas was speared to death. Bartholomew was crucified. James, the son of Zebedee, was put to death by the sword. Now you tell me that if these men knew it was a lie, that these men knew that it was some cunning devised fable, all of them were willing to die for a lie? Hypocrites and martyrs are not made of the same stuff. These people said, listen, we have seen him, we have touched him, we have handled him, we have seen the resurrected Christ. So we know Christianity is true because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of the reliable eyewitness accounts, because the disciples were martyrs, and we also know Christianity is true because of the truthfulness of the Bible. The Bible has been proven true time and time and time again. You cannot debunk it. You cannot debunk the Word of God. There is no way that you can prove that the Bible is false. It has been proven true time and time again. When Moses departed the Red Sea, the Israelites walked on dry land. But when Pharaoh's army got between the waters, the Bible says that the Lord drowned Pharaoh's army. And do you know what they recently found at the bottom of the Red Sea? They found chariots and other items from Pharaoh's army at the bottom of the Red Sea. The Bible has been proven true time and time again. You cannot debunk it. You cannot. You cannot prove it to be false. Jesus, in the Word of God, says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. We know Christianity is true because the tomb of Jesus is still empty to this very day.
Gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear of the day. We'd find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, I looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me, and she told me where she'd been. She said they might have moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. More than I could tell. again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same.
Reminding us that he's alive. Thanks for tuning in to Mark and Friends today, right here on listener-supported Great News Radio. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful weekend.